We start things off today with a look at how the opioid crisis in New Jersey is finally being dealt with. The obvious response by any state government is to throw money at a problem, which New Jersey Governor Chris Christie recently announced that the state would do. Is that $200 million being aimed in the right direction, concerning how the state is playing catch-up with a drug abuse crisis that's showing double-digit percentage growth? One would certainly hope so. My first guest today is here to give an analysis of the state's plan to battle this shocking growth in opioid drug addiction and overdose. She is the Vice President for Public Affairs and Member Services with the New Jersey Association of Mental Health and Addiction Agency, Shauna Moses. Thanks for being here today, Shauna.
Thanks for having me.
And website for the organization is njamhaa.org. So just as an overview, because the plan has a series of elements, specific allotments and dollars to it, but just as an overview, what's the significance of this plan that the government announced recently?
The significance is that it includes a variety of initiatives serving all kinds of populations. It's addressing infants whose mothers are addicted during pregnancy. It's treating children and youth, college students, other adults. And it's so comprehensive. There's some preventive initiatives through education, for example, of medical providers. And there is even other services that people need. In addition to the clinical treatment, equally important is housing and job training and supporting opportunities to secure employment. And that has a big difference in people's recovery for substance use disorders as well as mental illnesses, which often co-occur along with addictions.
And this is something we've talked about frequently here on the show, but the rate of heroin and other opioid abuse in New Jersey, and you can go anywhere. Don't think that the rural area is more calm and the problems less significant than the urban areas. But if you look at the latest reports from the state for 2016, the latest numbers that are available, out of the total number of substance abuse treatments in New Jersey in 2016, 50%, half of them, were for heroin, other opiate abuse. Marijuana, alcohol was 27%, marijuana 14%. List goes down from there. And again, Shauna, the rates have been double-digit growth in both treatment admissions as well as in the number of deaths, 2,000 overdoses just from heroin in 2016. And unfortunately, those double-digit trends continue. That's going to be a number higher when we see the 2017 report.
Yes, it's definitely tragic and frightening, the numbers increasing, and at such a fast pace. So the great thing about all of these initiatives that Governor Christie announced is that it's broad-based, comprehensive, addressing many aspects of the epidemic to try to get those numbers down.
Nice to see, too. The majority of these elements of this $200 million are not going to be delayed or have to go through reviews or policy committees. For example, the bulk of the money, $40 million, is going for what's called an incentive-based pilot program. It'll be a recovery pilot program, three pilot sites that offers incentive payments to providers that have benchmarks for relapse prevention, housing, and employment for severe opioid abusers. That's taking effect, in October, so you can't get much more quicker than that. And I guess that's sort of, at least by those who created this plan, they sort of see that, okay, we're behind the eight ball here. We have to play catch up. So that's where a bulk of the money is going, to make sure that those who are in trouble are going to get the rescue that they need right now.
Right. It's very heartening to know that the state is jumping right on this and implementing the broad range of initiatives, because there, as you noted, the need is tremendous in all areas of the state as well as the nation, pretty much all age groups, all ethnic groups, economic status groups, and we're very encouraged and grateful that there's a major focus on it at the state level as well as nationally.
There's also the creation of, they're called recovery coaches. This will go, there's $21 million allocated for this for prisons as well as at emergency rooms. As someone who survives an overdose with treatment and counseling services, the recovery coaches are someone who, I guess the saying goes, been there, done that, someone who's been through the same trauma. And that will become available now to all overdose admissions to ERs, not just those who have been revived in, you know, wherever with the chemical recovery elements that they have now, also expand treatment to programs at a couple of the correctional facilities too. So again, Sean, this sounds like it's a program that is going to be, that's, I guess, the peer element to it, that instead of someone with plaques on their wall trying to help someone out, here's someone that's equal to the person who's in trouble, and they'll be there to help them out.
Yeah, the peers are so effective, as well as those who have the higher degrees. Working together, they have an amazing impact on people with substance use disorders and those with mental health disorders or co-occurring disorders. Those who have the lived experience are such role models because they're being open about what they experienced. They're sharing their successes, how they overcame their challenges, and that has a tremendous positive impact in motivating individuals to begin and to stay in treatment and to support them in their ongoing journey to recovery.
So with Shauna Moses, who's the Vice President for Public Affairs and Member Services with the New Jersey Association of Mental Health and Addiction Agencies. Their website is njamhaa.org. We have a link over to our website, of course, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. For all the organizations that's under your group's umbrella, what's this program and what does this funding mean for their work? Because obviously with the rate of growth of addiction and overdoses with the opioid crisis, the caseload, the demand for services from all these organizations throughout the state have to be just overwhelmed right now.
Yes, there is the increasing need, and at the same time, the financial resources are limited in a lot of areas. So these new initiatives to address the heroin and opioid epidemic and other substance use disorders will be put to very good use. Our providers are mission-based. They're primarily nonprofit, and their whole goal is to save people's lives and enhance the quality of their lives. And the financial resources that are becoming available through these new initiatives will help to serve a lot of people and get those numbers down of the overdose deaths.
I see a trend category here, too. It's not just, okay, rescue the person, then stabilize them and let them go. There's a lot of foundation building for these people's lives, too. There's about $61 million for, I guess we can call them foundation programs, $36 million for supportive housing, $20 million to help keep families together, and $5 million to fund residential treatment for new mothers who are addicts. And again, this is funding that's going to start immediately. The $20 million to keep families together, that's the name of the program, Keeping Families Together. It's already serving families, receiving services from Division of Child Protection Permanency, reunifies the kids who are at risk or already out of home placement. And it just gives someone, instead of standing alone as an addict in recovery, helps keep whatever positive is still in their life together, it sounds like.
Absolutely, and to strengthen those areas of their lives that have been impacted by the substance use, because it's so multifaceted and so many people are affected in addition to the individual who has the substance use disorder or mental health disorder. It's so heartening to see that these evidence-based practices that are so well known throughout the state and the nation are already in place and being expanded to gain much more benefit for the individuals involved and as well as for the state overall.
Again, this is one of the most wide-ranging programs I've studied and I've read up. It even entails $2 million for the pediatric side of the equation. Most people don't know there were 528 babies born in New Jersey in the most recent numbers available, 2014, with what's called neonatal abstinence syndrome. And the State Division of Mental Health and Addiction Services are getting $1 million in this program toward decreasing the incidence of substance-exposed infants. It's going to be targeting the counties of the highest incidence of opioid addiction pregnancies and give funding to help the programs, help wise up the moms. Another $1 million goes to educate obstetricians about opioids so they'll know what to look for with all the high-tech equipment that baby doctors have now to be able to recognize that a baby being born is going to have neonatal abstinence syndrome and to get ahead of that disaster in the making. So again, it seems like, as far as a state program is concerned, this might be a first because it really does encompass possibly every part of the equation that could be thought of.
Yes, it does seem very comprehensive. And in addition to the infants, And then for young children, it seems like the drug use issue is starting at younger and younger ages. So any intervention, whether it's in the schools, with pediatricians, even before they're born, that whole lifespan needs to be addressed on an ongoing basis.
I've often had people here on the show who are presenters of the various drug abuse and drug awareness programs. And just to give, a closing look at how this problem has just flowed the wrong direction, the programs that they used to use in high schools, they're now using in elementary schools. As far as bringing awareness of addiction and finding kids who are addicted to. I mean, you can look at the various state reports and you'll see the demographic of, well, they call it 0 to 17, but obviously a 1 and 2 year old willingly is not going to be abusing drugs, but 13, 14, 15 year olds, marijuana, alcohol, and because it's so cheap, even heroin now.
Yes. The other thing is children now, especially from middle school on up, are under so much pressure and they're likely to develop mental health disorders primarily between ages of 14 and 25 as their brains are still developing and they have additional pressure in school. I think it's a lot higher and more intense than when I was in school a long time ago. And if they don't have the coping skills to deal with that stress, and let alone if trauma happens in their lives, so that certainly magnifies the difficulties that they can go through, a lot of them are self-medicating with alcohol or other drugs. So the important thing is to educate them not only about the drugs and the bad effects of them, but also about mental health disorders and recognizing the signs and symptoms and encouraging people to speak up so they can get help. And that can help prevent substance use disorders from developing by preventing the self-medication for depression or anxiety and other mental health disorders.
To learn more about this program, which really is going to help everyone from every spectrum of the opioid crisis and to find agencies and services near you to help with anyone that you know or even yourself who is facing an abuse and addiction challenge, you can go to the website of the New Jersey Association of Mental Health and Addiction Agencies, NJAMHAA.org. She is their Vice President for Public Affairs, Member Services, Shauna Moses. Shauna, thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much.